जय जया श्री चैतन्य जया नितानंद जयाद्वैत चंद्र जया गौर भक्तवृंद नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्णा पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नित्य नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी भास्कराचार्य सतारिणे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे So, we will now hear a little summary of what we did discuss yesterday. Yesterday we recorded, but due to what we can only call the Indian factor, our battery stopped functioning after 30 seconds, as if it had mind of its own. It was too spurted for the battery. We heard about what in olden times was given by the spiritual master to his disciple during the initiation. There were five sanskaras. The first is the marking with the signs of Lord Vishnu. It's almost like taking a glowing iron and marking a cow as to indicate that the cow now is part of a new herd, the herd of Krishna. So this marking in modern times is in our line not done, but it's still left in some other sampradayas. It's replaced with the tilak, or writing the names of Krishna on the body, like Govinda and Gopal, with tilak. That is also done, or with stems, or the Hare Krishna mantra. Second is tilak, the Urdhva Pundra, that is given during initiation. Third is a mantra. This refers in the Sanat Kumar Sanghita to these two powerful Krishna mantras, which Lord Shiva has described in the beginning. I think we all remember. Klingopi janavala bhasharano sharanam prapatye o namogopi janavala bhapiyam swaha. So these mantras were explained to us, and they are given. It's really in our Hare Krishna movement, this is given during the second initiation. Fourth is a name. This refers to the holy name or to your own name, which is given to you ending with Das or Dasi. And the fifth sanskara given during an initiation is Yajna, which refers to the worship of the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. So now Sadashiva will go to the heart of the matter. We remember Narada Muni sits in the sand on the bank of the river Jamuna to get confidential knowledge from Sadashiva. And Sadashiva speaks there under the shade of the trees, to Narada Muni. He wants to now describe to Narada Muni what could be called the internal mood which a disciple or a devotee who practices bhakti should have. It's not enough to just have the markings, tilak, a name ending with das, the mantra and the process of yajna. This could be done in an external consciousness, but bhakti is really something which is not done with the body or with the mind. It comes from the heart, a loving devotional service. So Narada, now I will describe to you who is a surrendered soul, the spiritual activities which people in Kali Yuga may follow to attain the abode of Lord Hari. I'm sorry, it's not the mood, but here I was thinking the next thing, I made a little mistake, is the mood in which a surrendered soul is, but that we will hear a little later. Now we will hear the activities which you should do to follow the abode, to follow into the spiritual abode. Today, Madhva Muni and Kishori were at the shop of Lord Jagannath, opposite to the Sri Mandir, and the shop owner preached to them about how to avoid Kali Yuga. So this, he actually prepared both of you for what comes now. Now we hear what we can do in Kali Yuga to attain the abode of Lord Hari. After receiving the mantras, the wise disciple should always serve his spiritual master full of devotion. In this way, he inspires the spiritual master's mercy to him. This is in bhakti a very important understanding, that by mercy everything is possible. So we should know what inspires mercy, or what brings the mercy, and that is when we serve our spiritual master with devotion. The disciple should study the devotional activities of the devotees. Especially he should study the activities of the surrendered souls. He should always meditate on his chosen deity, and he should always try to please the Vaishnavas. Oh, now we get many practical hints on how to perform bhakti. First, do something which inspires the mercy of the spiritual master. We should think, I want his mercy, so let me serve him full of devotion, and that will inspire his mercy. But then you should study devotional activities of the devotees. There is a great, great benefit in hearing about the life of devotees who have surrendered their life to Krishna. I'm reading at the moment about Bilva Mangala Thakur, who is on his way to Vrindavan. He's not traveling alone, he travels with some associates, some companions, and while he travels and runs, he composes beautiful verses about Lord Krishna. Very confidential verses in which Srimati Radharani praises Lord Krishna's sidelong glance, where she says that if Krishna looks at us, he comes through his glance into our heart. He, almost like the moon,
which comes into our room through the moonbeams, Krishna comes into our heart through his glance.
So
that's why we should sit before Radha Rasa Bihari. Krishna looks at us and then he comes in our heart, our simple sadhana.
So I'm hearing of the life of Bilva Mangala Thakur. This is very, very inspiring how he, on his way to Vrindavan, dances in Sankirtan and sings these verses.
And sometimes he faints in ecstasy. He takes the verses so absolutely serious that his body falls into the dust. And he can only be awakened because his devotees, his associates assure him, it's all right. Radharani has reached Krishna. She has come to Krishna and was received by Krishna. You will also reach Krishna. His lotus feet, so don't worry. Then he gets up again, looks around and starts to chant Krishna Gopal and runs to wind, continues to run to Vrindavan. So we should hear the activities of such surrendered devotees. This is very good. Especially one should study the activities of the surrendered souls. How have other devotees surrendered to Krishna? How have they dealt with the same questions? Which we are dealing with. How have they solved the problems of their life? This is what we should hear. Then one should always meditate on his chosen deity. In this life, we should just focus on the deity of our heart. And not only should we meditate on the deity who is within our heart and sing about him and talk about him, we should also try to please the Vaishnavas. Now, a very important verse is given now. As we all know, when we are with devotees, sometimes we all come into challenging situations where maybe devotees want something from us and it's so hard to arrange it and so on. And sometimes devotees chastise us. So you should actually be happy when the Vaishnavas punish you. This is what is described here. As a rake, rake is a woman hunter, enjoys when his lady love rebukes and hits him. So a wise person is happy when the Vaishnavas punish him. He knows it's out of love when the Vaishnavas punish us. A devotee should never worry what will happen in this life or the next. No worries, in other words, what will happen in this life or the next. He knows that what happens in this life is determined by his past deeds. In other words, you can't change certain things. They have to come. You have done activities which bring the which are now bringing the results. It's like a cow who has given birth to a calf, and now the calf will follow the cow and meet with the cow eventually and drink from the cow's milk. So in the same way,
You have already given birth to an action. Now that action will follow you in the form of a reaction, just like that calf which has been given birth to, and it will meet up with you eventually. You can run to Alaska, but the calf of your reaction will even find you in Alaska. It's very interesting. I have studied this a little. In the most cows in the world live in Argentina. We don't want to say for what purpose they are there. And sometimes they have herds with 20,000 cows. And it's seen that the calf will always find its mother among 20,000 other calves. They're just so attached to the mother, and the mother recognizes the calf. We think, well, this calf looks exactly like that calf. Where is the difference, please? But mother knows the difference, and the calf knows which mother. So your karmic reaction will find you even in the ocean when you try to hide. So therefore, what is there to worry? It is coming. What is to worry is, will I be Krishna conscious enough to deal with it properly? The devotee does not worry what will happen in the next life. Lord Krishna himself will arrange what will happen after this life. This is so nice. The devotee feels like a cow who has surrendered to Krishna. Now my life is in Krishna's hand, and Krishna will personally make arrangements where you will go in the next life. It will be good. He's like a loving father. Nice, isn't it? That's why you don't need to worry, because Krishna personally will arrange what will happen after this life. A devotee should renounce all plans and make the worship of Lord Krishna his only plan. As a faithful wife worships her husband when he has gone away on a journey, so he should worship Lord Krishna. It's amazing. Apparently the Vedic wife would also worship maybe a picture or memory of her husband who was on a journey. So in the same way, one should worship Lord Krishna. Knowing Krishna is not now here with me, at least not that I see it, but I will nevertheless worship him and be connected. Now I know this in India, on the day of, it's a slightly different example, but its principles are the same. On the day when the parents have left the world, then the child will keep the memory of the parents alive and do some puja for the child. So in the same way, we want to go to Krishna, so we will show Krishna in this world that we care for him, and we just worship him even in his so-called absence. Filled with love for her dear husband, such an unhappy wife always longs for his company. She always meditates on his good qualities. She glorifies these qualities and hears about them. In the same way, the devotee should always remember, hear about and glorify Lord Krishna's good qualities, pastimes and everything else about the Lord. A devotee need do nothing but this. Wow! This is the full permission for adulterated bhajan life. That's so nice, isn't it, to hear about this point in the Vedic culture, that the wife would, when her husband is on a journey, just think about him, and in the same way a devotee remembers Krishna and talks about him and glorifies him while he is in this world. He doesn't need to do anything else but this. When the dear husband, long absent on a journey, finally returns, the wife, filled with thoughts of him, kisses him, embraces him, and with her eyes drinks in the sight of him. Wonderful. So it's finally the husband returns, or Krishna returns, and then the devotee serves him in all ways. It's interesting, in the Bhagavatam is a shloka which says in which mood we should chant. We should chant in the same mood as a wife who waits for her husband to return to the home, and so that she can satisfy him in all respects. In the same way, we should wait for Krishna to return into our life. And this is done, text 119, by serving the deity form of the Lord. One directly serves supremely blissful Lord Hari. In the Vallabha Sampradaya, at the time of initiation, disciples would get from their spiritual master personally a set of deities, mostly a Bal Gopal deity. Krishna is a small child, because just like a child extracts the most service from the parents, Krishna in his form of Bal Gopal will extract the maximum of service. He has to be fed many times a day and brought to bed and everything. One should take shelter of Lord Krishna. One should not take shelter of anyone but Lord Krishna. One should not strive to attain anyone but Krishna. One should not desire anyone but Krishna. One should not have any other goal but Krishna. So this is Ekanti Bhakti. We are now informed that we should focus totally on Krishna. One should not worship anyone but Krishna. One should not bow down before anyone but Krishna. One should not meditate on anyone but Krishna. One should not look at anyone but Krishna. One should not glorify anyone but Krishna. One should not seek anyone but Krishna. Wonderful. One should not eat the remnants of food eaten by anyone but Krishna. One should not wear the garments and ornaments worn by anyone but Krishna. One should not talk with they who are not devotees of Krishna. One should not bow down before these devotees of other lords or honor them in any way. One should not hear the blasphemy of the Supreme Lord or his devotees. One should cover one's ear and go away. If one has the power, one should punish the offender. This is the training of the Sanat Kumar Sanghita. It's a really great Vaishnava scripture which prepares us to totally meditate about Krishna. This brings us to the question, what is important? So much in our life is about unimportant things. We are really always brought by our mind to the unimportant things. Prabhupada compares this intelligence of the living being, which doesn't turn the attention to Krishna, with an unsteady village prostitute. The intelligence of a living entity who does not turn his attention towards Krishna or the Krishna consciousness movement simply changes dresses like a prostitute. What is the benefit of such foolish intelligence? One should be intelligently conscious in such a way that he need no longer change from one body to another. A Krishna conscious person's only profession is to attract the attention of Krishna by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and living a very simple life. One should always be fixed in Krishna consciousness and take the cure of devotional service with firm determination. But the mind is dressing in so many ways and wants to attract so many useless thoughts. Better to neglect the mind. In a lecture given in Calcutta, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur describes, this wicked mind, which is never to be trusted, should be broomsticked every morning with such warnings as, be not anxious to find fault with others, or to proclaim thyself as a true, sincere, bona fide bhakta, which certainly you are not, you know. There is an saying which says, para chacha kera gati nahi kona kale. A man who is habituated to criticize others' conduct will never prosper. Let others do whatever they like. I have no concern with them. I should rather find fault with my own bad mind. So this is how a devotee tells his mind, don't find faults in the morning with others. Don't proclaim yourself as a high bhakta. And this means the mind is beaten like a little dog. Bodhidobha, behave well, and then it is in its good place. And this is what I have learned also in my life, to be tolerant, to forgive. We can learn this very well in India. We have to be tolerant in India. Good. So these were some instructions from the Sun, from the Sanat Kumar Sanghita. So tomorrow is the best day. We will hear how we should live in this world in good Krishna consciousness. Now we have heard about service to Guru and Vaishnavas.
fixing and living like someone who expects someone to come from a long journey home, a wife who counts when will my husband come, and in the meantime she just thinks of him, glorifies his good qualities. So we should learn from this Vedic example to glorify Krishna in his absence. And tomorrow we will hear about the king of prayers, which describes in which mood we should do devotional service. But I don't want to talk about this now. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Rasa Bihari ki jai, Jagannath Mahaprasad ki jai. Hare Krishna.